2 of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously Fukushima irradiated island chained nation of New Zealand, where it's so bright down here that everybody has an energy saver light bulb. And my very special guest is Dr. Rima Labo, and we were talking about fluoride, psychopaths, radiation, so on and so forth, and indeed the way the medical industry was structured in order to basically perpetrate purposely scumbaggery all across the world. And nutrition, I think, ties into this very importantly, mostly because they don't teach doctors nutrition anymore.
Well, I don't think anymore is a fair word, Vinny. They never taught doctors nutrition. Doctors who are part of the allopathic medical system that we were talking about were never supposed to learn nutrition, because nutrition can cure you. And you don't want that. That's not good for business. I mean, really, how disloyal could you be? Giving people vitamins and minerals and nutrients, they might get well. They might not take drugs. They might not need more drugs. In fact, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, CHOP, CHOP as it is called, where Dr. Paul Offit, which rhymes with profit, a man who, according to Joe Mercola, received $48 million or so last year for his vaccine whoring, Dr. Paul Offit has convinced the hospital to, are you ready for this? Forbid parents whose children are treated at CHOP, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, to take any vitamins, any minerals, any enzymes, any herbs, any nutrients, because it will interfere, I kid you not, it will interfere with the effects of the medication. And yes, it might. They might not have side effects. They might not get sick from the medicine, or at least not as sick. Oh, dear. Because Dr. Offit wrote a book, bless his pointed little head, called Do You Believe in Magic? About what he calls alternative medicine. I call it advanced medicine, because to me, the only alternative medicine that I know of is allopathic drug-based medicine, which is the poor alternative to pretty much everything. But be that as it may, it was only one of many mistakes. He wrote this book called Do You Believe in Magic? And he does. He believes that there is no such thing as biochemistry. That's magic, because all nutrition is applied biochemistry. So shazam, he made biochemistry go away. He also doesn't believe in science. He believes in magic. He believes in the assertion principle. I say it, it becomes true. So he says that are you ready for this? Do you have your intellectual seatbelt on? Are you ready for me? All righty. He says that there has never been a case in which a vitamin, a mineral, a nutrient, an enzyme, an herb has been shown to be helpful. He even said that we, the people who believe in this magic, think that we can cure cancer, when everybody knows that nobody can cure cancer.
I was talking to my friend the other day. He went up and accosted some people for the Cancer Society. We have this thing in New Zealand called Daffodil Day, where you buy a daffodil and they give the money to the Cancer Society, right? And he was kind of like unsure. It was the first time ever accosting somebody. World Order agenda. So what happened was, and I thought he should have asked this question. So how long has the Cancer Research Institute been around there? How long has the Cancer Society been around? Oh, it's been around for 20, 30 years. Okay. How many cures for cancer have they come up with? Okay. Well, so if I walked up to you and I asked you what you did for a living, you said, I'm a builder. For 30 years. Okay. How many things have you built? Nothing. You're not a builder then, are you?
Well, you know, let's be fair, Vinny. Let's be fair. They actually, in the builder analogy, what they would have to say is, well, I started a lot of buildings, but as soon as I got the foundation and part of the floor laid, I took a wrecking ball and destroyed them because my company only gets paid if I don't succeed in building anything, because the Cancer Society, like the American Cancer Society, and check the foundational documents, has to disband if a cure for cancer is found. Oops. Yeah. Oops.
Is that why when Rick Simpson found that he could cure cancer with high-quality hemp oil?
Yep.
As a society, and said that he'd found a cure, and they said to him, quote, "We're not interested in a cure for cancer."
Yes, that's why. Because we like our nice, cushy jobs and our travel and our TV appearances and our daffodils. God knows we like our daffodils. And so instead of having to work for a living, we work for the Cancer Society, which is never, ever, ever going to find a cure.
Yeah. Well, I think the basic principle is you actually have to produce something if you want to be of use to society. They don't produce anything. They do produce a lot of cancer, though.
Really? I'm sorry. I have to disagree with you. They produce massive income. Massive income, more than you and I ever will in any lifetime that we can imagine living. They produce billions and trillions of dollars globally by killing people very profitably. So you're wrong. They do produce something. They produce profit rhymes with off it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing is, profit in and of itself is nothing. You've actually got to come up with some kind of a product, something stable, something that's actually useful to humanity.
Oh, useful
and for evil giant, evil giant corporations or organizations that are acting at the behest of the globalist, I don't think qualifies as a productive member of society. If anything, they are the direct opposite, a destructive member of society. Are they even members of society? Because they don't have any comeuppance, do they? Normal members of society. Law, or if you kill somebody or something of that nature, you go to jail, you get prosecuted, so on and so forth. What happens to these guys if they kill whole bunches of people with cancer and so on and so forth? They get promoted. They get a Nobel Peace Prize or something like that. Speaking of Nobel Prizes, yeah. Did you hear that Monsanto for short, is a Nobel Prize for agriculture? That's like giving a Nobel Peace Prize to Genghis Khan.
It's the World Food Prize. It's similar to the Nobel Prize. It's not actually given out by the Nobel Committee in Stockholm. It's given out by another bunch of idiots. And these are corporate-sponsored idiots, like, unfortunately, the Nobel Peace Prize has begun to behave as if it were. Yes, I have heard that. Yesterday, I took part in the anti-Monsanto march in Santiago de Chile, where I live. It was marvelous. We had T-shirts on that said in Spanish, the equivalent of "seeds are life," "seeds are not for sale," or "life is not for sale." And then we had our Facebook page, our Spanish one, which is Natural Solutions Chile. And there was music, and there was dancing. There was a wonderful, wonderful troupe of native Chilean dancers dancing the entire march, several miles, very vigorously in their costumes. It was wonderful. And on the other hand, the opposite choice is the food of death. I mean, how do you choose? It's so difficult.
Food of death. I do feel that this is actually part of the mechanism by which people are being toxified and killed and so on and
absolutely.
So forth. It's like food is life, water is life, air is life. Therefore, they're destroying all three to make sure that life becomes very difficult.
Exactly. If you go to our website, Dr. Rima No, I'm sorry, that's the wrong website. If you go to our website, Dr. Rima Truth Report, that's drrimatruthreport.com, you will see the five doors. We have identified five genocidal technologies the five principal ways that these psychopathic monsters are using to reduce the population. And they are chemtrails and geoengineering. They are, and by the way, at any point, they can decide that what they're spraying out of those planes could be a whole lot more toxic. Right now, we're at soft kill. They could at any point, since the planes are equipped and ready to go and so on, and they have the system all in line, they could make that hard kill, fast kill, anytime they want. So there's geoengineering and chemtrails. There's drugs and vaccines, a biggie. There's food that does not support life. There's GMOs, genetically modified organisms, both food and non-food, incredibly dangerous. And then there's radiation. Think about Fukushima. And can we talk about Fukushima for a minute?
Go for your life.
I would love to. What's the radiation situation where you are, Vinny?
I just assume the worst, basically. I don't know, but I assume that it's really, 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 really bad.
Well, I think it is, but it's really, 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 really worse in the Northern Hemisphere. And by the way, soon the Natural Solutions Foundation will have an app that you can put onto your phone that will give you the radiation reading and a whole lot more. Very interesting. That's in development right now because we think that information belongs in everybody's hands. So, The radiation situation is out of control. I've been saying for basically since it started that it was out of control and that it couldn't be contained because it's six reactors plus another four. You know, have we talked about this, that there are actually 10 reactors that are in trouble? It's not six reactors?
Mm.
I know just this much Japanese, just a smidgen. And I know that Daini means number one. So they were calling it Fukushima Daini, Fukushima Daiichi. I'm sorry, that means number one. Ichi means one. So they were calling it Fukushima Daiichi, Fukushima Daiichi, Fukushima Daiichi. And I said, that's odd. We don't call it Hanford number one or Indian Point number one. We call it Hanford or Indian Point when we have a nuclear reactor. I wonder why they're calling it Fukushima number one. So I went scraping around on the internet and I discovered that there is also a Fukushima Daiichi, which means number two. It's directly next door, cheek by jowl. And so Fukushima Daiichi has six reactors. Fukushima Daiichi has four reactors, several of which were damaged. Now, I'm an environmental physician as well as a drug-free psychiatrist, and so I know a good deal about radiation. And I said, big problem. There will never again be clean food or water or air in the Northern Hemisphere unless somebody finds a way to contain it. And so I talked to world-famous nuclear engineers like Arne Gunderson of Fairwinds, and I talked to radiation risk hazard people like Chris Busby of the European Nuclear Radiation Commission, or Risk Assessment Commission, and I spoke to a number of other people, and they confirmed what my knowledge told me, which was that there was absolutely no way to ever contain or stop Fukushima Daiichi, the gift that keeps on giving, or Fukushima Daini, the secret gift that also keeps on giving. And I said, that's the wrong answer. So the trustees of the Natural Solutions Foundation decided that we would incorporate, as part of our self-generated mission, we would incorporate the search for technologies that could be used credibly, reliably, and could be iterated to be large enough to actually be applied in the real world. And we have located several technologies that have very powerful science behind them, very powerful science, that have just simply not been exploited. Why not, you may ask? Well, because nobody wants them exploited in the same way that nobody wants a cure for cancer who's at the Cancer Society level and above, as we were just talking about. So together with Ambassador Murata, who has been calling for a world response to Fukushima, and he might just as well be pissing in the wind, and with Dr. Busby from Europe, we have created an international commission called IC Safer for the permanent remediation of the nuclear hazard. And of course, once that nuclear hazard can be remediated, then every nuclear hazard can be remediated, because there's nothing fundamentally different about the cesium-137 at Fukushima and the cesium-137 at San Onofre or whatever nuclear reactors are around. And so that's a project that we're working on right now through the Natural Solutions Foundation. I dare say, from the response that we're getting from people around the world, that we're the only people who thought of it. To which my response is, so what do you brush your teeth with? Duh!
One of the most important... It's one of the most important issues concerning the world today, this Fukushima crisis. And you look at the satellite imagery of the radiation plumes that, like, they're still dumping hundreds of millions or whatever of liters of highly irradiated water into the Pacific. Okay. Oh, we've got all this really
on doing.
Can we get rid of it? Oh, I know, we'll contaminate the world's largest ocean. That's a brilliant move there.
But wait, before we do that, how about we have containment vessels that have radioactive core, which is called corium. Isn't that cute? C-O-R-I-U-M. Corium. Oh, how sweet. So the corium is out of control. The nuclear reaction is continuing, and it's burned down through the bottom of the containment building. And where did it go? Well, it went into one of the world's largest aquifers, which just happens to supply Tokyo.
You can't make this stuff up, ladies and gentlemen. As somebody who is deep on the inside once said, however bad you think it is, it's 10 times worse. So it's actually 100 times worse. And then a decade later, he says it's probably about 10,000 times worse than you could ever possibly believe. Dr. Rima Labo is my guest, and we'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Wait, hold on a second. And now welcome back. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week, 5 till 7 Central, 3 till 5 Pacific, 6 till 8 Eastern, 11 till 1 o'clock in the morning in the UK, the Uber King, and 11 a.m. till 1 p.m. for the duration of October, and it'll be kicked back as soon as the U.S. goes into their daylight savings time. Through to midday till 2 p.m., where you can listen in live. For those of you listening to the archives on our affiliates across New Zealand, thank you very much for doing so. You need to support those local networks to get the word out. Ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to media, most of them are bought and paid for. It's just that simple. So if you don't like that, then you must support the media you do approve of. It's like buying money, spending money at McDonald's supports McDonald's. Listening to scumbags stream media is giving them ratings, is giving them money. Switch them off. Turn on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Go to drrematruthreport.com. And the various other websites. You can just search Dr. Rima Labo on Google, and there's plenty of results, a lot of research to be done there. And I was contacted by a 17-year-old girl who's just waking last night And she asked me, "Oh, do you believe that there's a evil criminal cabal going on?" Thing? And I said, "Just Google Vinnie Eastwood. I think you'll find out the answer to that question." And she was struggling with the fact that it was very, very difficult going through this awakening, even at the tender age of 17, to find out that almost everything that you've been brought up to believe was in fact friend of mine. Or rather, a friend of Sarah's, my missus, she is starting to wake up as well. Her name's Moni, and she's starting to watch documentaries. And you know that as soon as you stop watching television and start watching documentaries, that you're really on a good path to waking up. I mean, my first 6 months when I was really kind of my fake life, essentially, obsessing with money and so on and so forth, I was watching around about 2 documentaries a day for a good 6 months. I had a geometrically increased knowledge base in a very short period of time. That's also why I encourage people to listen to this show, because there's so much information that we discuss on the show that you want to listen to again and again. Now,
I would like to, if I may, Vinny, I'd like to share something about this waking up process. It's exciting, it's exhilarating, it's painful, and it's very frightening because, as you said, virtually everything that you believe in comes up for questioning and most of it falls apart. And then you have relationships with people who can't hear you, who don't want to hear you. William McKinley was the 25th president of the United States. He was fatally assassinated. He fatally shot, I should say. He was assassinated. And he got one good line in before he was executed for messing around with the central banks, like every other president who's been assassinated. He said, "The truth will set you free, but first it's going to make you very unhappy."
That's true. And what I found about new people waking up is the trauma factor. It is extremely traumatic. I recall in the what I was doing, I was getting into a bit of debt kind of thing because I'd suffering from employophobia, a fear of being employed. And what happened was is I started to get aggressive, very aggressive, angry with everything and everybody. And I remember a conversation I was having with my sister Janine about how to consolidate my debt by getting another loan. And I was like, "Debt, I don't like loans or anything." And I just remember, "Why is everybody such a freaking slave?" You know, and it occurred to me, you know, now, this makes you crazy until you learn to get a handle on it and figure out what's really going on. Because part of what figuring the world out is about figuring out yourself at the same time you deal with it.
Absolutely. It is so difficult to go through a total reorganization of belief system, of understanding of how things are organized. You see the corruption and you feel overwhelmed. Now, people write to me all the time. And they say, "My husband, my wife, my father, my brother, my sister, my lover, my friends, my co-workers aren't listening to me. They don't want to hear what I have to say." And the answer is, yep, they don't, because they are afraid to go through the whole thing that you're going through. Look how painful it is for you. A lot of people say, "I would rather not know." And you, Vinny, say a very wise thing. At least you, like McKinley, have a good line, one good line. It's a good thing for one person to come up with one good line before they're assassinated. No, we don't want you assassinated. I'm being facetious. You say there are 7 billion people out there. Forget about the ones who can't hear you. Because, you know, eventually they will hear you. They will say, "You know, I heard that before, and son of a gun, you're right. I see it now." It takes time. It takes frequency and repetition. Typically, people have to hear something, whether it's true or false, 6 times before they can incorporate it into their own belief system. So you say it, somebody else says it, somebody else says it, and then Shazam, it's true, and they thought of it, which is kind of interesting.
And this is not to be confused, ladies and gentlemen, with you repeating yourself 7 times the same thing to one person. Other people have to say it too.
Yes. Now, you were talking about how important it is to support the media that you believe in, the media that tells the truth.
Everything that you believe in, really. There's plenty of good companies out there that have products like coffee, for example. I know an incredible product in terms of coffee there as well. So that's the kind of thing people should be really thinking about. Where do your dollars go? Where are your minutes of attention being spent? Because this all costs you something.
Yes, absolutely. When people are listening for 2 hours to the Vinnie Eastwood Show or the Dr. Rima Truth Reports on Thursday nights from 10 to midnight Eastern Time, and I'll give you the URL for that in a minute. When you're listening to that kind of show, ours and other people's, you are learning, you are encouraging the dissemination of truth, and you are also building a base that gives us the ability to go on. I have to tell you what is real for me about this. If I knew what I know, and like you, I know a whole lot about this stuff, and it's everywhere. It's the octopus. It touches every phase of life. If I couldn't take action against it and help to derail the globalist agenda, I could not tolerate the despair. So for me, the way that I have hope is by being effective. For example, here in Chile, the Monsanto law, as they call it, which is the intellectual property rights law for the next iteration of taking rights away from people, is called UPAV 91. It's an international treaty. It can never be rescinded once passed. UPAV 91 takes away seed-saving rights and basically gives the multinational corporations and countries that want to the opportunity to destroy small farmers and to control every bit of food. And of course, if I control the world's food supply, I get to decide who lives and who dies. You don't want Monsanto and the U.S. government in that position, but UPAV 91 puts them there. So Chile was going to vote on UPAV 91, and they had 4 senators against, and they had 27 senators in favor. I testified before the Agricultural Committee in Chile. I don't speak Spanish, but I prepared my slides in Spanish. And they were going to vote. That was on maybe a Friday. They were going to vote the next Tuesday. And it was a shoo-in. It was a done deal. I said, oh, no, it's not. And we got active sending out requests on Facebook, which belongs to the CIA, and so on and so on, but using all the social media we could for people to send emails to the senators and the governors and the Minister of Agriculture and so on. And we sent so many emails over the weekend that they postponed the vote. That was way back in, let's see, what would it be? Probably May. And we've been fighting them. Now we have 2.5 million emails. And they said, we'll wait until after the elections, which are in November. But now we have 22 senators on our side who have declared their support for not adopting UPAV 91. And it's even better than that. Never before in Chilean political history have senators felt the need to declare their position before a vote. Usually they vote, and then their vote is announced. This is the first time we changed the political process here in Chile. How did we do it? We used social media. We made it go viral. Now, think about the power of that. think about the power of that. And we have done it on many issues. And sometimes we don't win. But the point is, that's the kind of power that we have. And it comes from the broadcast that you're doing, Vinny. It comes from the website that you're putting up. It comes from what we do at the Natural Solutions Foundation, Dr. Rima truthreports.com. Our radio show, by the way, is available on Revolution Radio at www.freedomslips.com, Studio B, Thursday, 10 to midnight Eastern time, but we're also available on archive. That's what makes the change. It's dissemination. It's spreading. It's listening. It's not listening to the junk on television when you could watch a documentary instead. That is our power. And then we talk about it. And then we forward it. And then we forward the links to the action item. By God, we have all of the power. These other people are scared scumbags. Pity them.
And also, I wanted to iterate that making a difference is so easy that it's not even funny, okay? You know, we've talked about this, the various genocidal agendas that are happening, coinciding with each other and so on and so forth. Well, the fact of the matter is you can actually do something or like me, I go down to the organic shop and I buy water that's come out of a valley borehole that's like 800 feet down and has a high pH level, natural water. Start drinking that. If you've got fluoride in your toothpaste, get rid of that. If you've got mainstream media on the brain and so on and so forth, turn it off. If you're eating crapola manufactured by massive American they instead sell you soft-kill bioweapons, stop eating it, you know? You can have a massive effect just by taking care of yourself.
Absolutely.
Alone.
And other people will say, hey, what's happened to you? Your skin is better. You have more energy. You used to have headaches all the time. You don't anymore. What's going on? And then you can tell them, I would like to share a vignette, not a Vincent, but a vignette about how much impact we can have, how quickly, if I may. Helen Orbai was murdered 35 years ago by the National Health Service in the UK. The story is absolutely horrendous. She was secretly enrolled into a medical clinical trial for an experimental drug, Epilin, for a disease she did not have, epilepsy, and it killed her. But rather than leave it at that, she was brought to the hospital dead on arrival, her mother riding in the ambulance. And of course, all this time, her parents had been desperately trying to seek help for her and being stonewalled in the most callous and horrible way. She was brought to the hospital in the ambulance, her mother riding with her. And she was clearly dead when she arrived. But the doctors told Mr. and Mrs. Bai that she was alive but too sick for them to see for 3 days in the intensive care unit. And they demanded that the parents sign informed consent to do first a liver biopsy and a brain biopsy and a heart biopsy and a this biopsy and a that biopsy. And when they tried to refuse, they were threatened and browbeaten, so they signed for the biopsies. At the funeral, and I'll tell you the story when we come back.
We only have about 15 seconds left.
Okay.
Yeah, we will. You know what they call an accident when they're trying to take a biopsy? A biopsy. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back. There must be some kind of way. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Dr. Rima Labo is my very special guest, and we wanted you to quickly finish your story with that. That.
The family, by the way, is named the Bye, B-Y-E family, and you can go online and look up Helenor, H-E-L-E-N-O-R, Helenor Bye, B-Y-E, and you'll find the video and the article about this. So, Mr. Bai was reaching down into the casket to kiss his beloved 12-year-old daughter goodbye, and he felt something at the back of her head. He felt clips, and he lifted her up, and he looked, and he saw that there was a surgical incision that had been sealed with metal staples, and he looked at her abdomen, and he found that as well, and she weighed practically nothing. Why? Because all of the internal organs, including the brain and the liver and so on, which would have been able to be examined at an autopsy, had been removed to disguise the reason for her death. The reason for her death was the illegal use or the illegal enrollment of this child against her parents, without her parents' knowledge, into a drug trial, which the doctor was financially deeply enmeshed with. For 35 years, they tried to get the child's body parts back so they could bury her in a way that was satisfying to them based on their beliefs. And they also tried to get the government to do two things. One, to apologize, because they discovered it was not just their daughter in the National Health Service, but it was thousands of children who had been killed in this and similar ways without parental consent, threatening to take the child away if the parents didn't go along with what they were being forced to do and so on. And they also wanted to impose upon the National Health Service what is called a duty of candor. That means that they have to tell the truth. They have to tell the truth before they do something, or informed consent has no meaning, and they have to tell the truth after something happens so that people can find out what happens, find out whether the adverse event was related to the drug or might be due to an allergy or to a susceptibility or whatever. The National Health Service has no duty of candor imposed upon it. They are permitted to lie to save their own worthless scumbaggery skins at any point to anyone. So the Bais have been trying to get Parliament to adopt the duty of candor. In 2010, the House of Lords considered it and said, well, we think that it would be, and I quote, inconvenient to impose the duty of candor on the National Health Service, and they voted it down. So we published, and the Bais have been desperately trying for 35 years to get somebody to tell their story. So we did a 1 hour, 11 minute video, which is very moving and a very important video. And we wrote an article detailing the situation. We published it first in the UK and then in the United States and worldwide on our main website. And within 42, 46 hours, the chairman of the relevant parliamentary committee called the Bais, because you see, we have an action item. People can click submit and it sends an email off to the target, in this case, to the chairman of the committee. And the chairman started getting emails demanding a duty of candor and telling the story. And he himself personally called Mr. and Mrs. Bai after 35 years, and he said, Her Majesty's government apologize for the death of your daughter, and within the next 2 weeks, I will be moving in the Parliament of the United Kingdom to impose the duty of candor on the National Health Service.
Well, I say this is and I do believe that one person can make a difference, and the lesson of history is that the only thing that actually ever really has, the masses do nothing. all the time. They never do anything. They only follow. They'll follow whichever shepherd you place in front of them, whether or not that shepherd leads them into greener grasses or a slaughterhouse. So bear in mind, ladies and gentlemen, if you become your own leader, then you win by default because they don't want you to be a leader.
Now, would you like to ask me, Vinny, how many emails the chairman of this committee had received before he was catapulted to decisive action?
Try me.
I knew you would want to know. Take a guess.
7 million?
29. The first 29 people shook him so. I think he was afraid of more bad press because his party's been having mucho bad press. The first 29 emails shook him so badly that he called the buys. Now, he's gotten lots and lots and lots and lots more. But that's how it happened. Now, we're not there yet. We're not home yet. We don't have that law passed yet in the parliament. So we have to keep the pressure up. But 29 emails was sufficient to get that guy quaking in his damn boots.
Hmm. Now, and that's also one of the best things about when people are held personally.
Yes.
It works for a corporation or a government as they get to pass the buck. But if you put one person's name there, one person's email address, this is the person who will go down if anything bad happens, scares the bejesus out of them. Once they're afraid, then they act in the people's best interest. They don't act in the people's best interest to start with because otherwise they wouldn't be in that position in the first place.
Exactly. Exactly. So that personal threat, and we made no threat. We said, this is what we want, and this is what happened, and you must fix it. Well, he's a politician, and they've got elections coming up. And he was on that phone along with a representative of the National Health Service.
Hmm.
How do you like them apples? Homeopathic apples.
yeah. Okay, apple a day keeps the allopathic medicine away.
Yeah.
Now, there's one thing I wanted to discuss just before we finish the show today. We've got about 3 minutes left in the broadcast. We were talking over the break about how hard it is to know these things that we know to somebody who doesn't believe you. That's really, really harsh. And I know there's a lot of people who listen to the show who are in that situation. And I used to be in that situation. Sarah's kind of woken up a little bit. Quite considerably. The first step that's I feel is major for waking up is quitting your slave job. Like, really, that's kind of the pinnacle when you know for a fact that you're no longer working for anybody else. When you actually start working for yourself and you no longer want to be told what to do, I think that's one of the key indicators that somebody's really woken up, but not just woken up, taken personal responsibility for their own life. And that can be very difficult if you're the one person doing that in a relationship. And my advice, you have to find friends who vibe with you, who get the same deal, so that when you go home and they won't listen to you or anything like that, it's not that bad. Because you can always just say, honey, I'm going out to go hang out with the boys or whatever. And you'll go there, you'll be accepted, you'll have a good conversation, and you'll come back refreshed. And it won't matter that that person's not going to listen to you because they'll see you being refreshed every single time you come back. They'll see you happier and more comfortable and more calm after each and every time. And eventually, when they see that, if they really love you, if they truly analyze how you're going in life, they'll start to listen, they'll start to believe you more, and then it's a slippery slope before you're actually fully woken up and start to become active.
Absolutely true.
It is inevitable.
It is inevitable. And, You know, there are relationships that are familiar and convenient and toxic. And sometimes it takes something like this to demonstrate that. And I know lots of people have said, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. It was hard, but I needed to leave that relationship. Or I'm so grateful that my partner has awakened and trusts me now and believes what I say. I consider myself deeply, deeply, deeply fortunate because my husband of 22 years initially trusted me but couldn't believe what I was saying because he was a career military officer and he kept saying, not my army, not my government. And then once the doorway was open for the information to start coming in, he understood, and he's become an incredible partner in this journey that we're on. He's the president of the Natural Solutions Foundation. He understands that he was a useful idiot. He was a dupe, and he was used by the system. But now he's also doing the same thing that I am and that you are, educating and changing things.
There is hope, ladies and gentlemen. Don't become hopeless. Don't become apathetic. Just remember, hope springs eternal. You need no nourishment. You need no energy in order to have it. Just have it. Faith in humanity. Faith in the good in people. Faith that we will win through if we do not lay down.
Indeed, indeed.
We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Rima Labo, Dr. Rima Truth Report.com, also available on freedomslips.com.